This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's here in downtown Kearney, where everyone, it appears, has survived another St. Patrick's Day. Great day yesterday.
To the best of our knowledge.
So if you haven't survived, I guess you wouldn't be listening anyway. But glad to have you along with us. We're here all week for the NCAA basketball tournament, which, of course, officially gets underway with second-round action in about 24 hours and 10 minutes from now. So don't forget to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. First prize, a 49-inch LG LED television from Russell's Appliance and Electronics, and nearly 30 gift cards here from Cunningham's, ranging all the way from $15 to $100. And we've got other great prizes as well. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com and register. Get it done by 10 a.m. tomorrow so that you don't get clicked off sometime in that 10 to 11 hour. Don't be that guy that says, "Well, but the games haven't tipped off yet." Get it done by 10 tomorrow and you won't have a problem, because I'm not even sure when the clock's going to blow off tomorrow.
No, and you know what? If the first full day was kind of like last night, I think we're in for some great basketball. That Ole Miss game last night, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
they played very high-tempo game, come-from-behind win. That was a lot of fun to watch.
One of those things that when you watch that tournament and you listen all week to all those guys, they're talking about, well, this is the team that can pull the upset, or this is the favorite. You know, you've got to, when they're overblown between Sunday and Wednesday night, those are the teams you've got to watch out for.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I'm wondering how good the SEC is going to be, because Kentucky's made everybody in the conference look bad all year long, and there was a couple of tight games, including one with Ole Miss earlier this year. Ole Miss might be better than we give credit for, because BYU was hot. The only team that's beaten them, and it was tight games, was Gonzaga, and that was on a neutral court.
I'm hoping that they do well, especially Arkansas and LSU. Just saying. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking with Eric Backich, baseball coach at Michigan. Big Ten play gets underway this weekend in Lincoln. Michigan has yet to play a home game this season, and they'll be coming to Lincoln to continue their road trip this weekend. We'll talk with the head coach in the latter portions of the show. Brenda Van Langen is going to join us to talk about the Big Ten women's basketball teams in the NCAA tournament. We've got more on the men's tournament tomorrow and Friday with special guests, so I'll be listening for that. And we are going to join here in a moment the athletic director at UNK, Paul Plinsky. But a lot of things going on as we finished up winter sports season and have started spring sports season.
And I tell you what, I had a lot of fun Saturday night. St. Cecilia looks so good. That was so much fun to watch that basketball played at such a high level. The evening session was a lot of fun. And Winnebago, I can't talk too much about them. I mean, they were just kind of the darlings of the tournament. That was a lot of fun to watch. It was a good day. I watched 18 games in the span of 3 days. I'm not so sure I might have a problem. That might be also why I sound like this, too. Because it wasn't all broadcasting. There was some cheering involved from time to time. Just cheering. Let it go.
You leave me so many openings, Randy.
Let it go.
Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you today. Let's do our Lopro Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. I've got a ton of things. I've even got a soccer release here as they get ready for spring soccer. But Paul Plinsky joins us this morning. And good morning. You've been busy, too.
Good morning. Yes, I've been busy and loving every minute of it, but excited to be with you guys this morning.
Well, let's start with the wrestling. That's the last place you've been, down to St. Louis, where the UNK wrestlers finished as the national runner-up for the fifth time in school history. Have two national champions, both Romero Cotton and Daniel DeShazer, winning it for the second time in their career. Five All-Americans. and about as good a performance as you could have. They just didn't get the big trophy this time around in a much more balanced field. Coach Bauer told us it would be that way, but the electricity, because let's face it, not everybody can go to every UNK event, even if they want to on the road. What was it like in St. Louis?
Well, first of all, the arena that the championship was held at was first-class environment for our student-athletes. And, you know, they had black carpet with all the matching NCAA wrestling mats. The four video boards were as big as you could find. The arena sat over 10,000 people. It was truly an electric environment for our athletes. And, you know, they walked in there, and there was four dates of competition. They had two on Friday and two on Saturday, and each round our program did some really special things, and it was a great weekend to watch the five guys that were able to be All-Americans compete for us. And, you know, what's exciting for me is to not only see what they're able to do out there on the mat and the amount of respect that UNK has in the wrestling environment, but also what we have to look forward to in the future with all of these guys essentially returning for another year of eligibility.
And a great way to kind of culminate the winter sports season. That's a great way to kind of walk away from that part of the year.
Oh, absolutely. When you can say you have five All-Americans and you have seven qualifiers to the national championship and to finish national runner-up, you know, we were probably 30 seconds away from winning a national title. It's just a couple things happened here and there, and the whole thing would have gone a different direction. But, you know, when I saw Romero Cotton and Daniel DeShazer on the national championship podium, there's nothing better than that, to see the smiles in their faces in front of essentially their hometown. It was one of those that you cherish for a lifetime, and really happy for Coach Dalton Jensen and Coach Mark Bauer and then the rest of the Lopers. It was a great weekend.
And to do it the way they did it, going a little extra time and making it extra exciting down there in those championship matches. At the same time, not many schools can go 100% in All-Americans, and the track team only sent three this time, but all three of them came away as All-Americans, which is very tough to do, and I think even maybe exceeded Coach Bonzel's expectations.
Oh, yeah. You know, they going down there as a team with only three runners, or participants rather, you know, started with Dylan Schroet in the heptathlon, and he had a great meet, finished fourth, and quite frankly, he went down there to try to win a national title. And then Brady Land, the school record holder in the long jump, he had an outstanding meet and finished as an All-American. And then it concluded with Cole Wellitz, our miler, doing a great thing. So as a team, we finished 26th in the country. You know, you take any other sport in our 17 varsity sports, and finishing 26th in the nation is pretty good. And that will give us Director's Cup points in the national standings that will come up here in a couple weeks. But Coach Bonzel is an exceptional coach. You know, the men's track team finished third in the indoor meet and then went on to nationals, finished 26th. And the exciting thing is they've got the opportunity to repeat again this spring in the outdoor season. So did a great job this year.
And you mentioned the Director's Cup. What importance, what value do you place on that as the athletic director?
Well, it's growing in its interest for me. You know, obviously I've only been on campus for 19 months, and it's something that I've set as a standard for us, that we want to try to be in the top 15 in the national rankings for all 300 Division II institutions that exist. But in order to score in the Director's Cup, you've got to be competing in NCAA championships. So obviously our wrestling team this past weekend picked up 90 points for us by finishing national runner-up. The 26th place for men's track and field got us probably 55, 60 points. And then in the fall, we had our women's volleyball team compete in the national tournament, so they scored points. So the more teams you get in the NCAA tournament, the more points you score, the more you become a well-rounded total program, and people look at it and say, hey, that's a strong program. So we want to be top 15. That's the goal, and that's the measuring stick, to be top three in every sport in the MIAA and then go on to NCAA competition and try to be top 15. That's our goal.
We're talking with the athletic director at the University of Nebraska, Kearney, Paul Plinsky, here at Cunningham's. Come on down, join us for lunch. It'll be a madhouse the next couple of days, hopefully, with more NCAA basketball. So let's talk a little basketball as well. The men showed improvement this year. I go back, and we'll always go back to the words that you give us. That's the one thing about doing interviews in the media. We always go back on what you say. You want to see improvement in all sports, and you saw improvement wins and loss wise, and it seems like attendance wise and everything else. And then you have Connor Baronic bringing home and Ethan Brozek, both conference. And then Connor is the conference player of the year, and he also makes the All Central Region, which not only includes the MIAA, but the very tough Northern Sun and the Great American Conference. Your thoughts on what you saw from the men's basketball program?
Really proud of what the coaches were able to do this year, and how they were able to create an environment that was purely and essentially a very young group of student athletes, a lot of them from the state of Nebraska. And, you know, if you look back at our history in the MIAA, our first year we won 7 games the whole year in men's basketball. Last year we won 15, and this year we won 18. And, you know, you look back on attendance, in the first year in the MIAA, we were around 900. Last year, we were around 1,300. This year, we exceeded 2,000. So we've had our best record with 18 wins this year, and with our attendance being over 2,000. That's the best we've had in 7 or 8 years. And we feel like we're at a point now where, with all these guys returning, next year we're going to take the next step. And so competing at a high level in the MIAA and getting on to NCAA competition is the goal for this program, and I think they're well on their way. And that's what I've seen. That's the improvement that we've watched, and it really makes me excited. And I think it generates a lot of interest in the Kearney community for what Loper basketball is all about and what they're capable of doing.
Honestly, it felt like there was an improvement of more than just 3 wins with the men's program this last year. I mean, not only that, but they were very competitive in the games where they didn't win. They were right in it down the stretch in a very tough conference.
You know, and you look back on the last year, and you're like, okay, we lost a tough one against Missouri Western, and we went down to Emporia State and lost, and then unfortunately we were up by 13 points against Central Oklahoma and ended up losing that game. So we had 3 that, you know, you flip it the other way. But then, you know, a cynic can say, well, there's some games that we won that we probably could have lost. So it goes both ways. But I saw a lot of improvement. I saw the excitement in the gym and the type of environment we want to create, especially when we brought in the Loper Loonies and started to get, you know, that Fort Hays game. We had 3,700 people in the Health and Sports Center, and we want to make that a regular occurrence. And I think we've got the players that coming back that are going to be really solid. And I wouldn't be surprised if Connor Baronic gets on an All-American team when all is said and done because of, you know, his position as a Conference Player of the Year and a Central Region all Central member. I think we've got a great opportunity next year to build out of that and be really special next year.
Talking with Paul Plinsky, UNK Athletic Director. Obviously, the women started rough, got something going. We were able to briefly talk as you were making the trip down to Kansas City to watch the men. This is our first face-to-face chat. You decided that the change would be made with the women's basketball program. Where are you at with that?
Well, when we look back on this last year, you know, we saw some things that happened in the women's basketball program that were good, and then we saw some things that were some major concerns that need to be addressed. And I think as we all watched it close, we saw the ebbs and flows of what was taking place in that program. And so at the end of the year, after we made the coaching change, we are now in a situation where we're pushing hard to find somebody that could be a great candidate for this job and come in here and bring us back to the era that we had when people like Amy Stevens walked the campus of the University of Nebraska-Kearney. And so we have 101 people that have shown an interest in this job through the application process. I've been making phone calls to various coaches around the country that are either head coaches at NAIA schools or are top assistants or even head coaches at Division II schools or even top assistants at Division I schools. And all those people are showing interest in what the University of Nebraska-Kearney could be because they see a couple things. Number one is that they saw the history of success. You know, UNK, in its history of women's basketball over 47 years, has won over 60% of its games. We've been in the NCAA tournament 16 times, and we've had multiple All-Americans. And so they see that. The second thing they've seen is that we've done a lot of things to upgrade the program. We remodeled the locker room. We've done branding in the Health and Sports Center. We bought 4 new uniforms through our Under Armour contract. We were able to transport our teams to away competition in their own bus so that they're not with the men. The men and women travel separately, and That's not what other schools typically do. They typically throw them on the bus together. And then lastly is we've invested in the scholarships. We've said we're going to be at the maximum level to help support what this program needs to do. So they see this as an untapped goal mine that can, instead of winning 40% of its games, can get back and win 60 and then 70. Amy Stevens left this campus winning 82% of her games. So we're in the process of going through the names, looking at people, and trying to find that person that could come in here that has strong Nebraska ties, that understands the MIAA and the competitiveness of this league, that can recruit the kids from this state that have gone to Fort Hays, Wayne, Hastings, that have gone to other schools, because we think that, you know, if they're not going to go to play for Connie over at UN, they're going to come to Kearney, or they're going to at least give us a shot at them. And we haven't had that for the last 5 years. And so we're hopeful that could be a part of the expectation of what this new coach is able to bring into this program for the future.
What are some of the things that you kind of learned from? You've already had one coaching hire and the most high-profile program on campus. What are some things that you picked up from that process that you feel you can apply to this one?
First and foremost is that there are a ton of people out there that think that Kearney is an outstanding community, a wonderful institution, and a great place to work. So we have a lot of people that are interested in the jobs that we have on our campus. Second of all is that we can go out and we can attract some really top-notch people that want to be here, and not just head coaches, but assistant coaches that want to come with them. And third piece is that we have the ability to bring in recruits from this state and get them to Kearney and have an eye-opening experience for those prospective student-athletes, where they come in here and they're like, holy cow, this place is better than we ever thought it was going to be. And all of that has been shown to me in the last 3 months since hiring Coach Lamerson. I mean, he has brought an entire coaching staff here. They absolutely love it here. They're top-notch, first-class people that can coach the sport of football. They know how to recruit. They brought in a great class of 40, and now they're on their way. And I think the exact same thing can be mirrored in a women's basketball program. The difference between men and women, however, is that I'm not just looking for a coach that's coming in here, that a male coaching, like we have Josh Lamerson, a male coaching football, because we didn't have any female applicants for the head football coaching job. We have male and females looking to be the head coach here. And that's different. That's a different model, because men respond to things differently than women do, and the players do as well. And so that's a whole philosophical debate that I'm working through right now and trying to decide, am I going to look for a female to be our head women's basketball coach or a male to be the head women's basketball coach? And so that's a holistic perspective that, as an athletic director, you kind of have to come to a resolution and decide, you know, because you look at UConn. You know, you got an outstanding coach in what he's doing there, and then you go to another school like Tennessee and Pat Summitt and what she did on there. So it's a philosophical thing right now where I just have to be zoned in on finding the best coach that could come in here, enrich this community, and do exactly what our football coaches have done.
Well, you've got my number.
You want to come
if
coach?
No, I don't want to be the coach, but, you know, if you need any help, you know, I'm very good at being opinionated.
Oh, opinionated. I can give you
there's
a
no, there's
calls.
No shortage of that. You're not providing a service that's hard to find.
I don't want to kill the rest of the segment here just on women's basketball, but one more question, because you touched on it a little bit. Was there anything that you and Coach Chaney kind of in the exit meeting agreed on that you could share with us? That was, I don't know, a detriment, whether it was holding the program back that needs to change. I mean, we keep talking about money, but was there one thing that you both kind of agreed on that says needs to be addressed with whoever the next coach is?
Yeah, we had a very cordial closing conversation, and in it we talked specifically about, you know, what expectations we had that weren't being met, and we both felt it was, you know, time to part ways. But then as things were wrapping up, he said, you know, would you mind if I give you some suggestions for what I think the program needs in moving forward? And I said, absolutely, I'd be happy to take them. And he said two things. He said, number one is I would hope that you'd offer a salary to a coach that's commensurate with and competitive with the MIAA schools that are out there. And so that was greatly appreciated that he would articulate that. The second thing he says, I hope that you would provide the scholarship support that's needed to be able to be competitive in the MIAA. Now, those are the two closing comments that he had. And that obviously reiterates his interest in seeing the program go to the next level. And so that's what we're working on right now, and that's what we've communicated with every one of our applicants as we go through them. So, you know, we're at about 101 applicants right now. We're down to 5 or 6 that I'm actively talking to and trying to gauge their interest and also let them get done with their seasons so that they can kind of decompress from what they've gone through and then help them readdress and refocus on a new opportunity if it is to come to UNK, because they'll have their hands full. This is a tough, challenging league with teams doing really well, and they're also going to have to, you know, come in and learn a new culture and then try to change it for the better.
Well, we got a ton of spring sports that are already underway. The baseball team's off to a decent start. As Coach Day was with us yesterday, went 2-2 down at Northwest. They'll host Pittsburgh State this weekend, and of course they've been doing good at home. Softball team split a doubleheader with Wayne yesterday. They're back on the road. The tennis program has done well. I know we have Coach Salisbury on from time to time. One of those smaller sports that continues to do well. As we mentioned, the soccer team has picked up Sierra Clark from Omaha North and Alexis Fernandez from Goodyear, Arizona to go with the recruiting class from last fall. The Lopers actually have a Thursday spring exhibition game tomorrow against York. That's one of 6 spring exhibition games that they're going to have, and that's free and open to the public. And spring football, as we touched a little bit on, is going to begin after spring break. The color run is right around the corner here when April gets going. And we'll talk more about that as it comes in. But as spring is underway, can't say it has commenced here. But what are you seeing? What are you looking at? What are you keeping your eye on?
Really excited about where we're at with the spring, and watching baseball has been a lot of fun because those guys are playing well. I think Coach Day wants them to be at a consistent level every game and continue to progress. But, you know, I've got some, you know, look, the weather looks decent, so I think we're going to start breaking through. And historically, we continue to get better as the season goes on. You know, we're in good shape right now, and I think he'll get them to a point where they're in great shape. The softball team, you know, continues to show that they can get better. I know they came off a couple tough injuries with two pitchers, and now they've got them back into the lineup, and they're starting to play a little bit better defense and do some things offensively, and now they're going to hit the road, and I hope that they can kind of get some wins under their belt when they're competing on the road and then obviously coming home. And then, you know, as you said, tennis is doing outstanding, nationally ranked, a program for both men and women that have a chance to make it in the NCAA competition and exceed, you know, and excel in the NCAA tournament. And then you've got track and field that will continue to do their thing. And then in May, all of a sudden, it's their championship season. And then golf. You know, we've got a lot of things to do in golf to get ready for next year's regional for women's golf. And then the next year after that, men's golf.
Well, we need to clone Michael Colgate, obviously, yeah. And give him a couple more years of eligibility.
And get him back in the lineup. But in either case, you know, this is a big season for us because if we go back to the Director's Cup, this is when we score a lot of points. And if we could sneak baseball into an NCAA tournament, and if we could, you know, score some points with track and field and tennis, you know, we can get ourselves into a top 25, top 20, top 15 position. But a lot of things going on. In addition to the color run that we have on, we also have a Loper Loonies award ceremony. It's similar to the ESPYs. So it'll be, you know, Play of the Year, Performer of the Year, Inspirational Person of the Year, Weightlifter of the Year, you know, all those types of things that we'll do. And then we'll have a Senior Student Athlete Banquet. And then in May, we're going to have the Loper Football Backer Banquet on May 5th. So a lot of stuff is happening. And then it's commencement, and away we go with stuff. So I'm really excited about where we're at and where we're going, and I think next year can be even a greater year for us as all of our programs start to rise up and do very well.
And with spring football kicking off, it ends a little bit different than what we've had in years past, a true spring game for the Lopers.
Yeah, it'll be a little different, and I know Coach has got his 15 practices set from March 31st until the end of April, and then on April 25th is the spring game. But they've done a tremendous amount in 3 months now, and it'll be exciting to see what they can do when they come back after spring break, because the Lopers are ready. They've got players positioned to really do some exciting things this spring, which will catapult them into the summer training so that when Northwest Missouri State comes to town on September 3rd, we're ready to roll.
Paul Plinsky, Athletic Director at UNK, always a pleasure chatting with you. I'll just get one more comment from you. When we talked, you said you'd like to have the new coach by the 1st of April. Are you still on that timeline? Are you thinking after Easter, or do you know?
I'll be around Easter. You know, it could be before Easter or it could be right after Easter, but it's going to be in that time.
It will not be Easter Day.
No, it will not be Easter Day. I can promise you that. We have other athletic events going on nonetheless. But we want to get it done so that we can, you know, start working on the recruitment process of any potentials that can come in or be transferring in and establish ourselves so that in the summer the players know what's expected and be able to come back and be ready to go. But that's the timeline right now, and you know, I'll use more of this weekend and next week to have more conversations, and hopefully you can narrow it down and be at a point where we're ready to get this thing done.
Well, if they're not already from this area, bring them in while the weather's nice over the next, because we've done good there. Paul, thanks for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for your support, and have a wonderful week and watching March Madness at its finest.
You got a pick? Thanks. You got a team? Are you Kentucky or elsewhere?
I think it's common knowledge that Kentucky has the horses to be able to get it done. They have an outstanding coach, and they've been in the position before and know what it takes. So they're the easy pick, but it's March Madness. You never know.
Politically correct. Our athletic director.
It's just plain correct, because that's what's on my sheet right here.
I can't wait to get yours, because whatever you pick has to be better than New Mexico from last year.
Yeah, can't be any worse.
Our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith, the Charter West National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. Former Loper Brenda Van Langen is going to join us coming up in our next segment. And don't forget to come join us here at Cunningham's. Guinness Brat and a side. That's our lunch special today for just $6.49. So come on and join us at Cunningham's.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT. nmcrental.com. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see breaks of sun and some developing cloud cover around the area today with a high of 58 as winds will stay to the southeast. Then with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll drop off to 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 39.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. One shining moment. Always love to hear that. We're about 3 weeks away from seeing all the highlights and getting ready for the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. And we are here at Cunningham's for the whole week, NCAA, well, at least for the show. I would love to be here all week, Randy.
Yeah, it'd be a great place to hang out. If you want to get away from basketball, they even have comedy night tomorrow night.
Comedy night, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to a comedy night with our Cunningham's Comedy Clip, Don Reese, headlining the show. And we welcome into the Doug and Daddy show right now, Brenda Van Langen, and our previous guest, Paul Plinsky, says, hello, Brenda.
Well, I've had a chance to talk to him recently. I'm very interested in what happens with the UNK Loper women's basketball program, so I appreciate that he and I have spoken a little bit lately.
Let's start a rumor. Did you apply?
No, it's funny. I was just texting with my sister who is listening in North Platte right now, Angie, and she asked me if I applied as well. But I've got a pretty good gig going on with my television career right now, or I would love to come back.
Brenda, and you can touch on it a little bit, because people that have coached or are very interested in coaching and get into the broadcasting, radio, or television business, they constantly get asked. There's a lot of comfortable, and if you're in the right spot, the paycheck can be okay too. But do you ever think that you would want to coach?
Well, you know, I started off my career coaching. I coached at Kearney High School for a couple of years, and then at the University of Nebraska. And, you know, that's what I planned to do with my life. I was planning to be a high school teacher and coach, or a college coach. And, you know, after coaching at Nebraska for 5 years, I actually applied for some Division II jobs and decided at that point that it was time to step away from it. And there are times that I miss it. I really love the strategy. I love the teaching. I love the communicating. I didn't like the recruiting part of it so much, and there were some other things I didn't like. And what I get to do with my television broadcasting career is all the things that I love the most about basketball, I get to enjoy. And I get to go watch the best coaches in the country conduct their practices, talk about their strategies, and talk about their players. So, you know, coaching is in my DNA. Almost everybody in my family is a teacher or coach, and it's something that I enjoyed. And it's just, I can carry that on, I guess, through my broadcasting career now.
So as you break that down, Brenda, take a look at the bracket a little bit for us. For me, as kind of an outsider that doesn't know as much as you do, clearly, it always seems to me that the women's bracket doesn't have as many surprises as the men's bracket traditionally does, that the one and two seeds tend to be a little bit more dominant. Would you agree or disagree?
No, I think over the years that's been the case. I think things have closed up as far as parity over the last few years, and teams around the country are getting better and better and challenging, and there are a few upsets along the way. But for the most part, the women's tournament has stayed pretty true to form. And, you know, this year, the top 16 seeds will be hosting all the first and second round games. So it's rewarding the top 16 teams, so probably not as likely to see big upsets, but the reason they did it is for, you know, crowds, making sure that the student-athletes are having a great experience by playing in front of big crowds, and I think you'll see that in the first and second rounds when you see it on television. But I'm sure there'll be a few upsets. So, you know, just kind of looking through through the brackets, I think there might be a few upsets along the way.
Well, we'll hopefully get a couple of predictions from Brenda Van Langen here before we wrap up our segment, but let's jump into Nebraska. We talked when you were with us a couple of weeks ago before the conference tournament that you'd rather be a 10 than a 9 or an 8, and Nebraska does slide into that, although if you're going to be an 8 or 9, I guess they might have got the best one in South Carolina, although any of them will be tough. Can you tell us what you know about that little pod?
Well, you know, Syracuse is a program that Nebraska will face first, that they're in their third straight NCAA tournament, and, you know, they've been very competitive. They're in the top four in the ACC. That was extremely tough this year. They've got a big rebounder inside who is very thin, 6'4", Brianna Day, who could give Nebraska some problems inside, but I think that's a good matchup when you think about the personnel that Nebraska has. They don't have to go against a thick center inside. You know, I think they can keep Day off the boards well. The thing for Syracuse is that they had their third leading scorer, Diamond Henderson, a 5'6" guard, injured in their last regular season game against Clemson, and then they lost in the ACC tournament to Wake Forest. So, you know, just like Nebraska's had to endure going through some injury, it looks like Syracuse has faced that, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly or if they're able to bounce back in the tournament. And, you know, I think I've had a chance to see South Carolina play in person, and they're very impressive. And I think what Don Staley has done there year by year, building up this program, building it to be one of the best in the SEC and the best in the country, going to be an extremely difficult task, especially there in Columbia with all their veterans back. They were the number one. They got their first number one seed last year, and they lost in the Sweet 16 and to North Carolina. And I think what they learned from that and what they learned from playing Connecticut earlier this year, I think they're poised to make a big run. So, you know, if Nebraska is able to beat Syracuse, that's going to be awfully tough to meet South Carolina there in the second round.
Where do you really kind of see the status of Nebraska basketball? Because it seems the one injury really made them – it just kind of pointed out to me, in my mind anyway, that maybe they don't have the depth necessary to be as competitive and to be the program that we really want Nebraska to be.
Well, I'm sure Kanyori would have liked to have more depth this year. And, you know, there were several of the freshmen last year on the team that transferred out. And so a new group came in this year, and then many of them were injured in the non-conference. So I think that really took away from the depth. I don't think that's what Kanyori, and well, I definitely know it's not what she intended. And, you know, she relies on tough defense up and down the court and wants to have depth and play with depth. So I think it was more a matter of you know, unfortunate injuries that they didn't have the depth this year that they wanted. You know, when you lose a player like Rachel Terrio, I mean, she may have been an All-American as far as, you know, in that top 10 group this year, and extremely talented passer, scorer, leader, et cetera. And when you lose that quarterback on your team, there's going to be a fall off. I think the seniors around her, and then, you know, Romeo and other kids off the bench did as well as they could. But I think that was a pretty big injury to absorb.
Brenda Van Langen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, of course, has been all over the country for a variety of networks. And Matt in Lincoln says, since you were covering the Mo Valley, he wants your thoughts on Wichita State, which eliminated his alma mater.
Matt in Lincoln, huh?
Yeah, Matt in Lincoln. Apparently he's going to South Carolina this weekend.
You know, Wichita State is really good. They're a 13 seed in the NCAA tournament, but they are coached by Jody Adams, who was a national champion point guard at Tennessee and has come into Wichita State in 7 years, won the Missouri Valley regular season and tournament title 3 years in a row. And I'm shocked that they're a 13 seed, and that's actually one of my upset predictions, I think, is that they're going to have to go to Cal and play on their home court in Berkeley, but I think Wichita State has a real good opportunity possibly to pull off an upset there in the first round. But, Missouri State looks really good too, Matt and Lincoln, and I think they're going to have a good run through the WNIT.
What other upsets do you have, Brenda? You mentioned Wichita State. Who else out there that's a lower seed that you kind of like?
Oh, you know, that's really the one that jumped out to me the most as I was looking through things. I get a chance to cover the Big 12 conference. I think Oklahoma State has a good chance as they go down to Florida Gulf Coast, but that's going to be on their home court, so that's a tough one as well. You know, those are probably the ones that jump to mind. I think a real good first round 7-10 game is going to be Northwestern and Arkansas. You talked about announcers going into coaching. Well, Jimmy Dykes, of course, for ESPN for years, is now the head coach of the women's program at Arkansas, his alma mater, and he's gotten them back to the NCAA tournament. They're going to be down in Waco and play Northwestern, which Nebraska fans are really familiar with in the Big Ten. I think that's a really intriguing matchup because very different styles of play, and Northwestern back in the tournament for the first time in a long time, Arkansas back in the tournament for the first time in a long time. That's one of those intriguing first-round games that I'm keeping an eye on because it's a very different style of play, and it will be interesting to see who progresses through there.
And Brenda, who will join UConn in the Final Four?
That's a good question. As we all know, it will be, it probably will be UConn that is in the Final Four. You know, I think the number one seeds are deserving of number one seeds because of their body of work this year. You know, Maryland with what they did in the Big Ten, I think is likely. Now, they could potentially meet Tennessee, who they upset last year to make it to the Final Four. So, you know, if that comes to pass, that could be a great matchup. But with Maryland, with their depth, I just their depth and their balance, I really like. And Notre Dame has been good all year. I think they have as good a chance as anybody to beat UConn. They didn't earlier this year, but learned a lot by playing them. And so did South Carolina. So, you know, I doubt that it's the four number one seeds that make it, because there usually is some sort of upset along the way. But those four are the most deserving, and I think are the three teams that have the best chance to potentially beat UConn.
All right, Brandon, we always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know you got things to get to, so we'll let you get going and enjoy the tournament. Keep up the great work.
Well, I appreciate it. And if people want to see where I am, I'm at Kentucky for first and second rounds, and my games are on Friday and Sunday. And then I'll be on the Westwood One radio broadcast of the Greensboro Finals before I go to the Final Four and work on the telestrator behind the scenes. So if anybody's interested in where I'm going, you can keep in touch with me on Twitter, but that's where I'll be, and it should be a great tournament. Thanks for inviting me on, you guys.
You bet. Thanks, Brenda. And I love, ever since Kentucky beat Nebraska down in Kansas City, I guess I keep an eye on them, and they got that UConn. They're in the UConn side of things there. That's not fun for them.
They're not going to enjoy
no,
that.
No, it definitely isn't. But they've got a tough path ahead of them before they ever get there. But yeah, to know that UConn is at the end of their potential trip to the Final Four, that's daunting to say the least.
Well, the first few rounds are rather difficult for you to broadcast, isn't it? Because they do a lot of wrap around. Does that really change how you approach it?
You know, a little bit, and I'm play-by-play for ESPN in these games, and so that role, you've got to do a lot of listening to your producer, and you've got to keep things short because you never know when somebody's going to pop in or pop out, and you've got to update people that come in, and so you have to be really organized in your thoughts and everything. So it really is challenging, but interesting to keep people updated on what's happening, and it's definitely a little different approach.
You're from Nebraska. You're smart. You can handle it.
That's what we'll keep telling people. Absolutely.
Brenda, have a good weekend, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Thank you.
Brenda Van Langen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And keep up to date. We'll have the Women's Final Four here on ESPN Radio as well. So
and she is smart, by the way. I always looked at her paper more than she ever looked at mine in college. I'll tell you that right now.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday which number one women's seed outside of Connecticut has the best chance to win the national tournament. Little Big Ten flavor, 56% went Maryland, 31% went with Damon Day and I as we took Notre Dame, and 13% said South Carolina. So thanks for all the votes on the Midtown Mark Cooler question. Today we get a little football in there. Was it a good thing for former Husker Ndamukong Suh to be signed as a free agent by the Dolphins? Randy, what do you think?
It's good for the Dolphins. It's good for the Dolphins, and that's all that really kind of matters to me. I don't know. You signed the biggest contract in the history of the sport for a guy on that side of the football. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
It all depends on who you're a fan of. I said for me it falls in the middle. I'm not a Miami fan, but I don't root against Miami, so he's down there, and if he can get his money and continue to be an all-pro, so be it. Vote now at ESPNSuperStation.com.
Go
baseball,
Go
Big
Fins.
Ten
Fins
baseball
up.
Gets underway this weekend. Nebraska and Michigan. We'll talk with the head Wolverine, Eric Bakich, right after this.
Buzz's Marine is transforming their showroom into a summer oasis March 21st through the 28th. Check out Buzz's huge selection of boats on 6.5 acres and get ready for the boating season. Take advantage of huge rebates, extended 5-year warranties on Yamaha outboards, and register to win prizes. Join Buzz's at their spring sales event March 21st through the 28th. Buzz's Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer. 5th and Central, Kearney. Visit buzzesmarine.com for more details.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Carney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones.
Cuts or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on today's program. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, we're live at Cunningham's getting ready for the NCAA basketball tournament. Don't forget to fill out your Bud Light bracket for the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge. 49-inch LG LED TV, the grand prize from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. We've got numerous gift cards worth up to $100 here at Cunningham's and plenty of other great prizes as well. Don't forget to come on in. Open at 10 a.m. tomorrow so you can get all situated, get the food and drinks in front of you for the first tip-off. TVs everywhere, even out in the courtyard this weekend here at Cunningham.
Well, you can come in for some brats even today. Get yourself kind of used to the things. You got to get a little used to the basketball food.
Yeah, and you can't have all the Irish food in one day. Guinness brat and a side for just $6.49 today. And we welcome in here to the Doug and Daddy Show because we're getting ready for Big Ten baseball and softball gets underway this weekend. Welcome back to the program, Eric Backich, head coach of the Wolverines. And coach, have you got the laundry done? Because you guys have been living on the road. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it again. Laundry's done. We're good. We're good in that regard.
We got to get you a dome or something so you can play a game at home in the early part of the year.
Yeah, you know, that's part of the deal. It's just makes us tougher. We're just, we're excited to get on the road. We're battle-tested. We're 8 of the first 9 weeks on the road, 9 of the first 11. It's just, It's normalcy for us. So just got to be a little bit tougher and get out there and be ready to compete.
Yeah, we think it's rough here in Nebraska. We're at least going to have 7 games at home before you guys roll in. But it was a little bit of a rough start to the season, Coach, and you guys seem to have righted the ship from wins and losses, and some of that has to do with the competition you played. You won 8 in a row before Akron clipped you the last time out. Has there been some significant change from the slow start to what you've done in the last 9 games?
The guys are just more confident. You're right, we did. We stumbled out of the gate with a 2-5 record out of the indoor facility there. And, it's just one of those things where you're doing your first outdoor practice and pregame infield outfield of, day one competition. And so it takes a little bit of getting used to, but hey, it is what it is. And it's certainly not going to be ever going to be an excuse for us. We blew a few leads, I think, in 3 of those first 5 losses. We lost some leads late after the 8th inning, and since that time we've positioned our bullpen a little bit differently and kind of figured out who goes where and what role, and that's been a big help. Something that's plagued us most of the season has just been some injuries. We've been without Evan Hill all season. Travis Mazies has played in about half of the games, and we've just had some, like everybody, just some nicks and bruises, but those are you know, those are probably two of the more significant ones. But you know what? Everybody deals with that, and that's part of sport, and certainly not going to be anything that we're going to hold on to as a reason why we can't play our best baseball.
Well, you guys are playing pretty good baseball on the offensive side. I mean, obviously, these are all non-conference numbers, but second in the conference in terms of hitting at .302. Take a look at overall hits and RBIs. You got guys that are 1-2 in the conference or 1-4 in the conference. I mean, offensively, you guys are getting it done.
Yeah, offense has been a bright spot, for sure. I mean, statistically, you look at our numbers, and if you'd have told me 19 games in, we'd be hitting over .300 as a team with a .970 fielding percentage and a .33 ERA, I'd say we're going to be pretty darn good. Unfortunately, it's just been a couple of those one-run games early on that have knocked us off, or, you know, a play here and a play there. And you know, we're still getting our footing from that standpoint. We feel like we've got, you know, the right guys in there and understanding where everybody goes, what role they're comfortable in, where they can thrive in. And, you know, really it's just the more we play, the better we're getting. And we had a little bit of a slip up at Kansas. But outside of that, the guys have been playing much better. They're much more confident, and they just, they're enjoying competing.
We're talking with Eric Backich, the head baseball coach at Michigan, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They roll in for a three-game series at Hawks Field this weekend. And you've got a young man that I know we've talked about last season. We've talked about in a variety of ways in a Jacob Cronenworth that does – he's one of those great players that can come in and close the game for you. He can provide offense for you, and he's got almost every accolade laid on him here in the offseason. What have you seen from him here through the first 19 games?
Well, he knows who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin. We're hitting him leadoff, so he knows his job is just to try to get on base, and he's doing a good job. He sees a lot of pitches, and he's just scored a lot of runs for us. That's been what we've asked him to do, is to be a guy that can manufacture a lot of runs and just find his way on base, because once he gets on, he can get motion. He runs very well. He's our fastest runner, and he's a great athlete. And on the mound, that's a role as a closer. He thrives in that capacity. He loves that role. He has a lot of believability in himself in that role, and he's been very, very dominant in opportunities where it's a save situation, where he's done a great job. So, yeah, he's a huge part of our team, and being able to serve in two ways in a dual capacity as a hitter and a pitcher.
Coach, obviously the conference race starts this weekend. How do you kind of see where you guys fit in the conference race and the conference race overall? Who do you think is the conference favorite?
Well, I think, you know, I was just talking to the team. I gave them a little bit of a state of the union. I think, you know, when our expectations are very high, like everyone else's are, for where we want to be at the end of the year. But looking at the conference, this is a banner year for Big Ten baseball. You know, and you just look at Michigan and Nebraska, you know, not even talk about them, but look at what Illinois and Maryland and Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, I mean, you know, everyone's got pretty good records up and down the league. It's not anymore where it's just two or three or four teams are doing well. There's, you know, seven, eight teams that are playing pretty good baseball and have some nice quality non-conference wins. So I think it's going to be up for grabs. I think it's there may be, you know, some conference, you know, I everyone reads that, you know, Illinois and Maryland and, you know, with Indiana's last couple of years and, you know, Nebraska's season, that great season they had last year, winning 41 games and having, you know, Sinclair and Kubot and half their lineup back. And, you know, so it's just, there's a lot of good pieces in the league this year that I think it's up for grabs. I think it's going to be a great race. I think that as we go through Big Ten play, you know, and we're starting to look at the way the postseason is shaping up, I think there's going to be five or six teams that people are talking about as potential NCAA teams out of the Big Ten.
And you're going to find out right away. I mean, for the folks that don't know, the first three Big Ten Conference series for Michigan, at Nebraska, host Maryland, at Indiana. So according to the prognostications that we all like to look at, you get the big boys right away, Coach.
Yeah, and you know what? So what? Great. Good. We love it. And we're going to get a great – I mean, we're not looking at the first three. We're just looking at Friday night, Hawks Field, Haymarket Park, Champ Sinclair on the mound, Michigan, Nebraska. You know, get one game at a time, one inning at a time, one pitch at a time. All we talk about is winning pitches. We don't look at it as a whole. We have the same goal as Nebraska does, to win the regular season, and is one of our team goals for the year. And so does that same goal is shared by Maryland and Indiana and everybody else on our schedule. So it's for the first time, at least in my 3 years at Michigan, I think it's going to be a race that's going to be heated, and it's going to come down to the final weekend. It's going to be exciting, and that's what you want. You want to be able to compete in that type of environment. You want to be able to compete in that type of stage, and you want to be proud of your conference to know that we're taking care of business in the non-conference. We're all challenging ourselves outside of conference play, and we've got a conference now that can compete with the big boys and, you know, can say, yeah, we're a Power 5 conference, and, yeah, we can hold our own with some of these other schools.
Well, you mentioned Sinclair on Friday night. Talk a little bit about his pitching start and who else is going to be starting for you this weekend.
Well, he's one of the returning studs in the league. I mean, everybody knows that. The pitchability of him is very good. And, you know, Coach Silva does a great job with all of the pitchers of, you know, being able to pitch with the changeup. And, you know, he and Kubot can throw the changeup in any count. And so, you know, pitch on both sides of the plate and have a lot of confidence in those pitches and be able to cross count, pitch backwards and pitch with the fastball on both sides. And so, you know, the one thing about Chance and about all of the Nebraska pitchers is, you know, they don't hurt themselves by issuing free passes, and they're going to challenge you. And, you know, I like our offense. I like their pitching staff as well. I think it's a good matchup, and it's going to be some good competition.
And Eric, what's your rotation going to look like this weekend?
Right now, it's Brett Adcock on Friday night, and that's what we're going with. And we'll figure out the rest of the way. But like I said, we've got some injuries, and we'll figure out the rest of the rotation when we know what's going on with some guys and their health status. But right now, it's just Brett Adcock on Friday night. And that's kind of all we're focused on.
Well, get them healthy, because that's a lot more fun. We all know it from a variety of sports. And before we let you go, Coach, now that of the major sports, you're no longer the rookie on staff, has the hazing begun of Coach Harbaugh, and have you shown him around a little bit?
I wish. The guy is you know, the busiest man you know, in the Midwest, and he is killing it on the recruiting trail. We're all fired up about what he brings to Michigan athletics and our football program and just to Michigan in general. And so I've always been a fan of his. You know, I grew up in California, a lifelong 49er fan, so I've been an even bigger fan of his before he even got here. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to develop the football program, how he's going to instill a lot of that Bo Schembechler type toughness in our football program, and I'm looking forward to the years ahead with him at the helm.
Well, Coach, we should have some great weather this weekend, and that's all we can ask for in March, so let's get some good baseball here in Lincoln, and we wish you the best of luck. And again, thanks so much for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, as always.
Take care, Eric Backage, baseball coach, Michigan University. Big Ten action begins in Lincoln on Friday against the Wolverines.
And again, Sinclair and the rest of the pitching staff in Nebraska are going to have the hands full, because that's solid offense. I mean, you take a look at their numbers. They're first in like two RBIs behind. They got the number one and number four RBI hitters in the conference, the top two in terms of batting average. I mean, there's some tough outs in that lineup.
Well, it all starts, and you'll be able to hear baseball on 1230 KHAS, and when possible, also the Breeze 94.5. More of that kind of when hockey season gets over. We're going to talk hockey with Coach Holton later on in the week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. First place in the Western Conference for the first time in over a decade. We talked about their players of the week yesterday, and now Matthias Göransson has given his college commitment to UMass Lowell, so congratulations to him. We are here at Cunningham's in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with over 100 450 pre-owned vehicles in stock. Midway is sure to have the vehicle you're looking for in any price range, and they continue to clear out their 2014 inventory. Save up to $12,500 on a new 2014 Cadillac. Right now, you can get a brand new Cadillac for the same price as a gently pre-owned vehicle. Stop into Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and see the full inventory today, or as always, visit them online at thinkmidway.com. Randy Bushcutter and I, Doug Duda, more to talk on, including the inaugural, which just seems weird to when I was talking about this on sports last night, the inaugural Nebraska Athletic Hall of Fame. This is for all sports and can create great debate for shows and columns in the newspaper and things like that. We'll talk about that and much more. Come on down, join us for lunch, fill out your NCAA tournament brackets, and have a lot of fun here at Cunningham's. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
A big Buffalo County Fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama.
Dixieland delight. Oh, play me some mountain.
Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations.
I'm guilty, love in the first degree. Song, song of the South.
Get tickets starting March 20th on etix.com. Don't miss Alabama Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's bring you our Cunningham's Will comedy clip. Not only do we have St. Patrick's Day, the NCAA tournament, but all kinds of fun every Thursday night with Comedy Night. Don Reese will headline tomorrow night's two shows. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the early show, which begins at 7:30, but seating and serving of the food that you pick off the menu around 6:30. The late show is at 10:30. What we do is we give you, in a moment here, a comedy clip, either from a stand-up routine, a television show, or a movie, and then you have to provide us the answer, either the show or movie, or the actor or actress that it is from. There's plenty of ways that you can enter, and of course you can always go to our Facebook post and listen to it time and time and time again, and you can leave your answer there. You can also email the Dent Popper inbox, or you can call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506. That's 646-0506. Give us the answer, then give us your name and contact number so that if you're the winner later today, we can get a hold of you. And here is this week's Cunningham's comedy clip.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Okay, could we change subject, perhaps?
That's a good family meal conversation. What movie, show is that from? Or name one of the actors or actresses. I'll call the comedy Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, put it up on Facebook, or email the Dent Popper inbox. And later today, we'll contact the winner for this week's Cunningham's Comedy Night for Don Reese coming in tomorrow.
Since we played it yesterday, I was looking for a St. Patrick's themed movie, an Irish movie. You know what? There aren't that many comedies to deal with Ireland. There just aren't.
it's its own comedic joke.
Waking Ned Divine is the only movie I can think of, and nobody's going to know any lines from that movie.
It's like being a Pollock. There's plenty of jokes. They just use them all the time. So the University of Nebraska has started in Athletics Hall of Fame. There's so many of these for individual sports and the COSIDA Academic All-Americans. But Sean Eichhorst, and if you go to Huskers.com, they actually went and kind of presented to three of the athletes that are currently in Lincoln, and one of them is Lori Sipple from softball that's still with the program, Jim Hartung still with the men's gymnastics program. But what they did is there's 22 sports now at Nebraska, and swimming was around for over 80 years, so they're picking swimming as well. So there is one from each sport. Obviously, football is going to take a long time to catch up with everything, and maybe some of the other sports. You probably couldn't tell me who the first inductee is in men's tennis, for example. But only one from each sport. And, man, when you start football, who do you go with? You could go with a ton of people, and they don't have to be Nebraska natives, obviously.
Just graduate from the University of Nebraska.
And be everything that you're supposed to be in the Hall of Fame. They're going with Dave Remington as the football inductee. Baseball, they're going Alex Gordon. Next year, it's got to be Darren Erstad, and then you can start picking down the list of other guys that have went pro, I assume. In basketball, Eric Piatkowski on the men's side.
He's had the best NBA career, no question about it. And he was, you know, he led them to a conference championship. They won the Big Eight conference tournament his senior year.
And again, it should be pretty easy. You look up there at Pinnacle now, and all these guys played at Devaney. You look up there and go, okay, number retired, number retired, number retired. It'll be easy to check those off over the next handful of years. For the women, the basketball player is Karen Jennings. And
again, that's the one.
I think Mortiz Ivy's next.
Yeah, I would think so.
So you go there. Other names, and I recognize quite a few of them. They're going to go Jim Hartung, men's gymnastics. Penny Hines, women's swimming and diving. I'm going to go with the ones I recognized here. Shannon Plowski, bowling. Yeah, baby. Merlene Otte, women's track and field. Sarah Sassy, Kildow, now with the NSAA. She's women's golf. Lori Sipple, softball. Fran Tan Benzel, women's cross country. Allison Weston, volleyball. And those are the ones, I guess, that I specifically, right off the top of my head, I said, yep,
knew those guys. Yep. Tan Benzel was from what, Arapahoe? You know, so it has a little Brady. Little flavor from here.
Yeah, see Brady Bonzel was firing off a little text to me reminding me that Tan Benzel from Arapahoe and saying she was probably even better in track but competed for the United States at the World Cross Country Championships. A little background there. Now, the other athletes that are going in, and Steve Fries in men's golf, I think I mentioned, from men's track and field, Charlie Green. From men's tennis, the answer is Steve Jung. Joe Kirby, men's cross country. Christine Latham, soccer. Liz Mooney Schaefer in women's tennis. Adam Pine for swimming and diving. Bill Scher, wrestling. Rochelle Simpson, women's gymnastics. And Amanda Trujillo Shrivener in rifle, which is the newest sport.
You know, if you open this up to the whole state, not just those at the University of Nebraska, there's some tremendous names, especially in baseball. There's inaugural class of baseball, Grover Cleveland and Alexander, you know, Bob Feller. I mean, there's some great names.
So that is going on. They'll be honored over the first football weekend, September 4th and 5th. Nebraska baseball looks for their seventh straight win today when they take on Indiana State, 135 at Haymarket Park. You'll be able to hear it on 1230. KHAS, then Michigan in this weekend. Hastings baseball split their doubleheader with Mayville State yesterday. They're now 8-7. They'll have today off to enjoy Arizona's weather and play Valley City State tomorrow. Hastings softball is home today to take on Kansas Wesleyan. That doubleheader will begin at 1:30. UNK softball split a pair of games with Wayne State yesterday. They had the offense in game one. Wayne State had it in game two. Lopers win 12-3 and fall 13-7. They're off to Lincoln University and Lindenwood this weekend. And the NAIA National Championship game was played last night, and what a contest it was. It had everything that makes it epic. You had the lead. You had the top two teams in the nation playing for the fourth time this
rivals,
year.
Hard rivals.
Rivals in the
GPAC
conference, no doubt about it. And Morningside, the number one team, had won the first two. Concordia beat them in the conference championship. Concordia is up 12 in the first half. Morningside cuts it to 4. They score the last 6 points. A foul called on Bailey Morris with less than 2 seconds to go. Lexi Ackerman makes the two free throws to win it 59-57. Morningside, the champ, Bailey Morris. After the game, they introduced the All-Americans, Bailey Morris, who we've had on the show, Concordia's all-time leading scorer, played basketball at Silver Lake and Sandy Creek, named the National Player of the Year. So an outstanding honor there. Also on the all-tournament team, Hastings, Jamie Van Kirk, first team, and Michaela Berry on the second team.
And I know Greg's a very proud father, as well he should. I mean, that's an outstanding accomplishment to pull all that off. And Player of the Year, that's nice. But to do it and win a national championship at the same time, that is a lot of fun. That is awesome. And there's no better way to end it, is there?
One more sport that I don't know if I'd find it enjoyable to compete in because it's so cold, but the Iditarod. Ended
the
today.
Mushers.
And you know why I keep an interest in the Iditarod? This goes back to my beginning radio days, and I'm just going to pull this out there, and hopefully it'll be bring a grin to some of the listeners. Paul Harvey always talked about the Iditarod day on his noon news, how it was going, and then there was always some backstories to it. So Dallas Seavey wins his third Iditarod in the last 4 years. His dad broke that streak up there in the middle, so he's the winner finishing out in Nome, Alaska. So get your Dallas Seavey Iditarod champion gear ordered today.
I'm not sure why I can order that.
It would be, you know what it would be? It would be something like nobody else had.
It would be that.
Now, even though TNL is like no other, tons of farmers across the world have TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system, and there's a reason why. It's the best, folks. Find out why so many growers have TNL with their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of TNL's hydraulic design. Just a few of the reasons why you should have a TNL in your field. Contact your TNL dealer or go online to their website, TLIRR.com. It'll answer almost every question you have and learn why TNL irrigation systems are like no other.
I hope my Iditarod t-shirt gets here sooner than my Manhattan Jaspers shirt did, because it doesn't even make sense to wear the Jaspers anymore.
Tomorrow, Jim Langan and I back here at Cunningham's. Damon Day took Notre Dame yesterday. Last year, you took a flyer, and then that disaster happens when your flyer gets upset in the first round.
Very first round.
You took the three
Done
seed,
by 11 New o'clock
Mexico.
Thursday.
You are out. You have went Kentucky as your national champion, but take me kind of through at least your Elite Eight. You got any crazy ones that have went farther than they should?
You know, I have North Carolina and Baylor playing in the West for it there. So I didn't go completely chalk there. I had the 3 and 4 seeds beating the ones and twos there. Kentucky all the way through. I got Northern Iowa doing very, very well, but eventually getting beaten by Virginia. So I got a couple that are somewhat unusual there.
And a couple of things, and I mentioned it on Monday's show, a couple of things that Colin Cowherd was talking about this morning. He must be spot on, because I have a slight disagreement with this Jim Boeheim thing. Is stupid. Him and his producer were going back and forth right before our show, telling somebody that you're going to retire in 3 years. I guess it can help telling your recruits, but unless you tell them who the next coach is, and this could be kind of a disaster.
I think it's going to hurt your recruiting. I mean, granted, you already know that the guy's 70 years old.
Well, you got to tell them who the next coach is.
You got to think who's coming up down. Unless there's a transition plan where they say it's going to be my head assistant. And again, are you going to commit to that? To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to come out publicly with that. People just have to kind of understand that if you're signing up with a 71, 72, 73-year-old coach, the idea that you're going to finish with them, probably their odds aren't real great. At least they're being honest. I'll give them that.
And he hates Virginia, and I like Virginia. So because my bracket, my sheet of integrity has never won anything ever, it's always like the third or fourth sheet that I fill out, Virginia will probably go down in flames. But we will make our official predictions tomorrow. You've got less than 24 hours to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Great prizes not only from Cunningham's and from Russell's Appliance and Electronics with our grand prize, the 49-inch LG LED TV. We'll be back at Cunningham's tomorrow. They open at 10 o'clock for the NCAA tournament games. Want to thank our guests on the program today, UNK Athletic Director Paul Plinsky, Brenda Van Langen, who works for ESPN, Big Ten Network, and a variety of jobs as an analyst for women's college basketball. Also to Michigan baseball coach Eric Backage for joining us on the program today. Get your answer in for the Cunningham's comedy clip. And Randy Bushcutter took Kentucky. Will we do the same tomorrow? Find out as we're back at Cunningham's here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.